Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts before you tonight. We just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to be able to look into your word. We thank you, God, even for the means you have provided that we may be able to look into your word, realizing that it's storming outside and we can't go anywhere right now. But you have provided a means by which we can still study your word. For that, we say thank you, and we bless your name for that. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we just ask that you speak to our heart. We ask, God, that you would please let us know what your will is for our lives. We also ask, God, that you would please give us the grace to apply these things to our hearts as we walk as your children, that we may be pleasing in your sight, that we may bring someone to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we also pray for unity within the body of Christ. We pray, God, that anything that may hinder our unity, we pray, God, that even as we look through your word, if there's anything in particular that deals with any individual, we pray, God, that you will show it to us. And we pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you will remove it out of the way. Just for the sake of unity, if there's unforgiveness, whatever the case may be, God, we pray for that tonight. We pray for the word. We know the word is already blessed. We just pray that by your Holy Spirit, God, that you will reveal things to us in your word. Give us revelation. Give us discernment. Illuminate our hearts and mind, God, as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, well, thank God for being able to do this again. So we left off last week. We're still talking about forgiveness, but we're talking about forgiveness in the context of praying. And I think it's important that I point that out because I was thinking about that today. It's kind of like you reading something on the internet and you know, they give you those blue letters, those blue sentence or word that is a hyperlink, right? Mm-hmm. And you click on it and it opens another window. And there's just a whole nother world of reading that you can do once you click on that link. And if it's a large reading material, and you're going to be in that hyperlink for a little while, it's easy to forget what you was reading before you click on that link, right? And so this is kind of like what we are in. We're dealing with prayer, right? But the hyperlink is when Christ connects praying and forgiveness, right? So forgiveness in the context of praying is the hyperlink that we clicked on, right? And we've been talking about forgiveness because we've been in that hyperlink. And so I don't want us to forget that we're still dealing with the idea of prayer only, you know. Yeah, so, and that's what I want to point that out, that we're still dealing with prayer, right? But in the context of prayer, we have this issue of forgiveness because like we looked at in Matthew chapter 6 and we talked about how, you know, the other parallel text deals with a different perspective of this Lord's Prayer, right? And how one may deal with the structure of a prayer and how Christ here in Matthew chapter 6 really want, not just dealing with the structure of the prayer, but also want to point out the condition of the heart when the person goes into prayer and how they cannot be on forgiveness in the heart if a person is praying to God and asking God to forgive their debt, right? Their issues. And so it's I mean, you think about it, even in the Old Testament time, people couldn't just approach God in any condition, right? You couldn't just approach God any old way. I think that's important to point out because, yeah, we have an invitation to come before the throne of grace with boldness, right? And there is no restrictions, but there can be conditions, right? Like, our hearts just can't be in any condition and approach God's throne of grace, right? I think that's important to point out because that's what Jesus is really getting at. What my heart looks like when I approach God's throne of grace, what's in my heart. And he could have dealt with anything that could be in the heart, but he points out forgiveness, and that's important. So, and that's what we've been dealing with, right? But I just want us to keep in mind, in the context of praying, we're dealing with forgiveness. What does your heart look like when you're praying? Does it have unforgiveness in it? We talk about, you know, a lot of things, we try to go into the heart to try to get a glimpse into what an unforgiving heart looks like, right? We talk about broken fellowship, all in an effort to pay back, right? To make someone pay back for what they did to us, right? We talked about those things. And we define forgiveness as Christ gave it to us in Matthew 6:12, right? We remember we define forgiveness as the cancellation of a debt that someone owes you. And we talked about how it is to be pardoned, right? Of the debt obligations. Be pardoned by the one who has suffered the loss, right? And then we will also talk about anything short of that would be unforgiveness. So we already dealt with all of that. But what I want to really look at just for a brief moment is unforgiveness, right? And how it affects the work that the Holy Spirit of God is doing in our lives. All right? There is a connection between unforgiveness in the heart and the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of the believer. And we said last week that we was going to go here and look at this for a moment. So unforgiveness, how do we define unforgiveness? It's really, I guess it would be the opposite of forgiveness, right? The cancellation of debt, to pardon one's obligation to pay back what for the damage they've done. So unforgiveness is just to hold on to the cling of punishment, to not let it go, right? No, like regardless of whatever, I'm holding on to it. I'm not gonna let it go, right? That's unforgiveness. And it is to try to exact penalty for the wrongdoing. That's unforgiveness. And to say, you know, I forgive a person and then still place conditions attached, you have strings and conditions attached to your so-called forgiveness, it's really not forgiveness, it's unforgiveness. So an unforgiving heart seeks to make the offender, right? The one who's done us wrong. An unforgiving heart seek to make that person pay back the debt of wrongdoing, right? And one of the ways in which this is done is by using the mouth, right? To tear down that person that's done us wrong. Those who are harboring unforgiveness in their heart will do such things as tear down, right? With the mouth, use the mouth to tear down. That's what it looks like in the heart of a person who is harboring unforgiveness. And I like to call it, right, it's a heart disorder. It's a heart disorder, right? And I'm using natural terms to describe a spiritual condition of the heart, right? It's a heart disorder. And if we could give this heart disorder a name, it would be the refrigerator syndrome, right? The heart disorder named refrigerator syndrome. And the refrigerator syndrome, that is when I'm like a refrigerator, I can't hold anything in. I'm the refrigerator. It's the refrigerator syndrome. That's the condition of my heart. I can't hold it in. What somebody's done to me, I just got to go and tell somebody, right? And I may not even intentionally want to tear down someone, right? Using my mouth. But because I have this heart disorder, I'm like a refrigerator. I can't keep anything in. It's in me 1 second, and next minute it's out, right? I just got to go and tell somebody what they did or what they said about me or how they said it and how it made me feel. But it's not really about it that they did, right, that I'm telling. It's about the motive of my heart that leads me to tell it, right? And that is really, I may be intentional or unintentional, destroying the character of that person. That's what I mean by tearing down with the mouth, right? And remember, we talk about how someone can go and explain something. Like he says here in the word, if you have a quarrel, we'll look at a text. If you have a quarrel with anyone, right? Forgive them even as Christ forgave you, right? If you have a quarrel, right? And what is a quarrel, right? It's an argument or a disagreement, right? That me and somebody else may have, right? And so I using my mouth, right? And I have this heart disorder, right? I can't keep it in. Using my mouth to let it out, right? I'm using my words to tear down this person, right? All because I won't let it go. There is something to let go, which is the wrong they've done me. That's what I need to let go, right? But instead, my heart ain't working right. I have a disorder. So the thing I'm supposed to let go, I'm not letting that thing go, but instead the thing that I'm not supposed to let go, I'm letting it go out of my mouth, which is using words to destroy someone. We talked about how we can add color, right? How we can enhance the story. And the whole point of doing that is when I'm telling it to whoever I'm telling it to, my intent is to make the other guy look bad as I can make the other guy look, and at the same time make myself look good. Why? Because I have a victim mentality, right? I feel victimized, right? And the victim, right? It's like we watching a movie, right? They make the movie in such a way that you can't help but love the victim. When someone has been done wrong, they build the movie in a way that you will watch that movie and you can't help but feel sorry for the victim. You can't help but get on the victim's side. And they make the bad guy, right? In movie they say the villain, right? But when we talking about good guys and bad guys in the movie, we say the bad guy, we don't say the villain, right? Because they tell the story to make the other guy look as bad as they can make him look. Why making the victim look as good as they can make the victim look so that you can be attracted, right? And have some compassion, some feeling towards the victim. We do the same thing. When someone done me wrong and I go and add color, right? I'm telling the story in such a way as to make that person look as bad as I can make them look, and in the process make myself look good. So it can just be a simple disagreement, right? Nothing that was loud, nothing that was animated, right? Nothing that was, there wasn't that much of a tension, right? In the core that me and my brother had, right? But I'm telling it to someone else and I'm adding color. I'm making it look like there was tension, right? And I'm making it look as bad as I can make it look, right? And I'm making facial expression. When he was saying it like this, he was saying it like that, and you know how we get when we're telling something, right? I'm adding color. I'm giving facial expression. I'm even elevating my voice, right? When I say what that person said, right? I'm adding color. I have a heart disorder. I can't keep it in. All right? And so that's what it does. That's what unforgiveness is in the heart. I use my mouth to tear down the person who's done me wrong, all in an effort to make them pay back the debt they owe me. That's what I'm doing, right? I want you to feel what I felt when you did what you did to me, or you said what you said to me. I want you to feel what I felt. If what you said to me made me feel shameful, I want to make you shame. If what you said to me was hurtful, I'm going to use my mouth to hurt you back. And I heard Pastor Wright say this on Sunday when he was preaching, how hurting people hurt people. And it's because of unforgiveness in the heart. That's because I want hurting people hurt people because hurting people want people who hurt them to pay back what they did. That's unforgiveness. But we and so you paint that picture, right? So let's talk about forgiveness within the body of Christ. Because that's what our texts deal with. And I know up to this point, right, I haven't read the text and somebody's like, well, is he still in Matthew chapter 6? No, I'm talking about the text we read last week, right? Which is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's begin reading at verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. That's our second reason of forgiveness right there. Even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. That's the second reason right there. Let's continue reading. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, right? And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. But you are called, to the which also you are called in one body. We talked about that last week, this oneness, this union we have. Jesus said, I am in the Father and you are in me. That's the language of union, right? That's the language Paul is using. You are called in one body. What's that body? That's the body of Christ. And so we want to look at forgiveness within the body of Christ. Why? Because the text in Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and then verse 14 and 15. It's really a broad text. It's not specific on who you are to forgive. And I think what Jesus is getting at there is, it doesn't matter who's done you wrong, whether they're a fellow believer or an unbeliever, whether they're in the church or at your job, whether they're at your school or even in your own home. It doesn't matter whoever it is, right? If you come asking God to forgive your debt, you better make sure at that moment your heart is not harboring unforgiveness, okay? But in this text, there is something more specific he's dealing with. And what is specific is the body of Christ. That's believers. This is limited, right? Right there. The body of Christ. It's not broad. It doesn't extend outside the body of Christ like Matthew 6 does. This is specific. This deals with unforgiveness within the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ. We are called in one body. One body. What is that body? That body is the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Listen to this, right? Ephesians chapter 4, right? Ephesians 4, we can just run there real quick, because Ephesians chapter 4 carries with it the very same idea that Colossians is talking about. So look at Ephesians 4:32. Matter of fact, let's back up to 31, because we've been talking about the mouth, right? And using the mouth to tear down, or in an effort to make the person pay back. Listen, right? Let all bitterness, right? And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, right? We're talking about malice. With all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay? Now, there's your mouth. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Why would he tell us to put these things away, right? He says, be put away from you. That means from among you. You who? You who are the body of Christ. Listen, I can't put these things away unless I put my own forgiveness away. These things are just a byproduct of my own forgiveness. These things are the natural reactions of my own forgiveness, right? And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I may not see anybody who's done me wrong for a long time, right? But what happens the moment I see that person? That thing they did to me, it just seemed to all come back. And it comes tumbling down on my head like a ton of brick. And guess what? All these different emotions in me start stirring up, right? My memory is stirred up. What they did to me comes to the forefront of my mind. Everything else takes back seat. And what happens is I become bitter all over again. Not to anybody else, but just to that person. I'm bitter, right? And my wrath is there. My wrath is there. My anger is there. And guess what? I'm going to use the mouth. Heart disorder. Refrigerator syndrome. I'm going to use the mouth. I can't keep it in. That's why he says, put these things away. Evil speaking, put that away. Why? Because I'm going to use the mouth. You don't speak with your ears. You speak with your mouth, right? I'm going to use the mouth to tear them down. Why? Because I'm bitter. I'm angry. And they just got to feel my wrath. Remember what you did to me? You got to see this face. You got to see this face. You got to hear this voice. You got to feel this wrath. Why? Because I'm hurt, right? And I'm going to use the mouth, tear you down. And I'm going to go all around the community of believers, letting it out. Refrigerator syndrome. Can't keep it in. Letting it out. Sharing with everybody what happened to me. I can't put it away. I can't put those things away until my heart condition, my heart disorder is dealt with. I can't put away clamor, evil speaking, wrath, anger. I can't put away those things until my unforgiveness is first dealt with. Because guess what? Out goes unforgiveness, out goes bitterness. Out goes unforgiveness, out go anger. Out go unforgiveness, out go evil speaking. And one of the evidence, even when a person think they have forgiven another person, one of the evidence that you or I have really never not forgiven that person is what I say about that person. That's one of the evidence, whether I have forgiven or I still am holding that thing in my heart. Forgiveness within the body of Christ. So within the body of Christ, unforgiveness can destroy the work of the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. And I get this from the context here. So to see this, let's back up a bit. So let's back up. Go back to Ephesians 4:25, right? We're still dealing with the mouth, right? The heart disorder, right? And you see the language here. You see the language in Colossians chapter 3. You see the language here in Ephesians chapter 4. The language is here, even in chapters before you get to chapter 4. Listen, back at verse 25 of Ephesians 4, he says, wherefore putting away lying, right? Lying the mouth, right? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, the mouth, right? For we are members of one another. Is not the mouth a member of my body, right? And just like the mouth is a member of my body that you seen on this camera, right? The body of Christ, me, and whoever I may have a quarrel with are part of the same body of Christ. So what am I doing? If I tear down my brother in Christ, I'm tearing myself down, right? Essentially, that's what I'm doing. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no sin that a person commit is committed without. But and when he talk about fornications, right? And remember, he used the analogy of one being connected to a prostitute. He says, when you do that, you're not sinning against anything outside of yourself. You're sinning against your own body. And so when I tear down another person using my mouth, I'm really am tearing down the body of Christ. I'm really am tearing down myself if I'm a part of the body of Christ. Let's continue reading. For we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, right? Why should you not let the sun go down on your wrath? Not only because you're going to give place to the devil, right? But the devil is going to use it, because that's the thing, right? And we're talking about harboring, right? What is that? Holding on, right? If you need a key to how you deal with your unforgiveness in your heart, if I was in the church in the pulpit right now, I'd say, somebody say, let it go, right? Just like Pastor Evan did, Pastor Wright did on Sunday. Let it go, right? Why? If you let the sun go down on your wrath, guess what? The enemy will use it to whisper things in your ear. You have now created an atmosphere that invites him in, right? And I remember the reason I said Pastor Evan's name just now is I remember going through the marriage counseling thing before we got married, right? And I'm glad it was him. And I remember a lot of the things he dealt with. And one of the things I remember he dealt with was this text right here. He took the principle of not letting the sun go down on your wrath, and he applied it to the marriage, right? And he said, look, if you have something that you're angry about with your wife, it's best for you to deal with it in that day, right? Whether it's talking about it, whatever the process you take to deal with it that day. You guys should not go to bed at night, right? And you haven't dealt with that thing, and then wake up the next morning and the thing is still there, because guess what? It's going to be worse. You've taken some problem from yesterday and brought it into today. And guess what? You're going to feel worse about it today than you did yesterday. So Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it in that moment, right? That's one of the key. Deal with it in that moment. Because if you don't, you give place to the devil. You create an atmosphere that invites him in and tells him, take care of this, right? And believe me, he knows how to. He's been doing it. He's been causing havoc and confusion longer than you and I been alive, right? It's safe to say that for a long time. He's good at it. Don't give place. Listen to what he says.
Amen.
And let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Then he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, right? Proceed out of your mouth. He didn't say don't talk. He said let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Literally, corrupt is words intending to tear down. Words intending to tear down. Words intending to corrode, right? Like acid, corrode. Right? And we're talking about heart disease. Corroded arteries, right? Cannot
the blood can't flow like it should because of clogged arteries, right? Amen. And when that stuff is clogged, right, the heart is not functioning right. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about this heart disorder, refrigerator syndrome, the mouth. Paul said, don't let any filth, any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because, listen, right? You have this heart condition. There's no denying it. Paul knows that. Paul didn't say, deal with what's in the heart first. He's going to get to that. But he says, in the meantime, don't let it out of your mouth. Why? Because when you do deal with your heart condition, when God do forgive you and he does deliver you, and this ordeal is behind you, you don't want to say some stuff that you're going to regret later. Because even though you've been forgiven, right? Your actions, your words creates consequences, division. It clogs the natural function of the body of Christ. Havoc in the church, division. Now you got one group of people pinned against another group. Why? Because I got some people that knows what happened. And you got some people that know what happened based on how you said it. So naturally, those who like me would take my side, and those who like you would take your side. So you see what I'm doing, right? When I'm using my mouth, this is what's happening. I am disrupting the natural flow of the body of Christ. We have clogged artery in the church. Things can't function the way they should. Because of unforgiveness in the church, in the body of Christ. And it manifests itself in so many different ways. So much so to the point now where even people in church, we're just so used to it now. That we think it's normal. It's normal for somebody to come to me and tear down another brother. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. I ought to be able to say, look, something is not right about this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what should come out of your mouth is that which is good to the use of edifying. That is for the use of building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Do you think is it easy to speak well of someone who's done you wrong? Think about it. It's not easy. You know what is easy? To speak wrong, corrupt communication about that. It's easier to do that than it is to either keep my mouth closed about what happened, or if I do open my mouth, say something nice. Right? And we're going beyond nice. But that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace to the hearer. And here it is. Here's the connection. This is why I went back this far. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay? And we read 31. But look at the context. He's talking about the mouth. I mean, go back from verse 25. Lying, speak truth, be angry, sin not, your wrath, giving place to the devil, corrupt communication out of your mouth. Speak that which is good and useful of edifying. He's talking about the mouth and how we can use, and that's what I meant when I said, within the body of Christ, unforgiveness can destroy the work of the Holy Ghost. Where the work of the Holy Ghost is what he is dealing with here when he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God with which you are sealed, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? You grieve the Holy Spirit of God by letting corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That's how you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You're destroying the work he's doing, which is a work of building. That's what edifying is. It's building up. The Holy Spirit is building up a body of Christ. And corrupt communication will destroy that work. You say, but I don't see that here. But listen, Ephesians chapter 4 is not exclusive to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is part of a broader context that you can go even back to chapter 2. Let's go back to chapter 2. Look at the end of chapter 2. let's look at verse 19 of chapter 2, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's the body of Christ, right? The household of God. And are built, right? Remember, edifying. What does edifying mean? What does edify mean? It means to build up, right? Listen to what he is saying. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built. Who are built? You, the body of Christ, you are built together for an habitation of God. Through whom? The Holy Spirit. He says it right there. Through the Spirit. There is a work of building, right? So we have in chapter 4, verse 29, corrupt communication, right? Then we have that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, words that can build up. Then in chapter 2, we see there is a building that is taking place through the Holy Ghost. So according to this context, right, unforgiveness can destroy the work of the Holy Spirit, which is a work of building up. And what is he building? Well, he's building the body of Christ. And unforgiveness can destroy that work of the Holy Spirit with corrupt communication. And you know, for many years, I didn't even understand what it meant to grieve the Holy Spirit. And you've heard all kinds of things that's been said about grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember one year, this was years ago, many years ago, going to a church, and I had got up and proceed to walk out of the church, but going down the middle aisle, right? And one of the ushers came and stopped me and said, you know, if I want to exit, I should go use the aisles on the side of the wall. I can't walk down the middle while the preacher was preaching. And she said, because it grieves the Holy Ghost. And that was before I even knew anything about God's word, right? So I'm like, okay, that's what it means to grieve the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that. I mean, walking in the wrong place. Who knew you could grieve the Holy Spirit by doing that? But I'm one that believe, and I've heard this saying before, Context is king, right? You ever heard that? Context is king. When it comes to interpreting what the word of God is saying to us, the number one thing, don't run to a commentary. I mean, commentaries are good. I read commentaries, right? But when it comes to interpreting what the word of God is saying, the context of what is being said is very important. Many people ignore the context and they run and grab the first commentary. Well, they don't even know that that guy right there who wrote that commentary, you don't even know what he was thinking when he wrote it. So you adapt your thinking to what he's thinking, and before you know it, you got a wrong interpretation of what the word of God is saying. And why is that important? Because wrong interpretation leads to wrong application, and wrong application leads to wrong living. So how do you deal with how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Not by your cell phone going off in the church while church is going on. Not by the baby crying out loud while the preacher is preaching. You've heard all these things people say in the church that grieves the Holy Spirit. No, corrupt communication coming out of your mouth grieves the Spirit. Why? Because there is a work he's doing. He's building. And when you tear down with your mouth, it grieves the Spirit of God because you are destroying the work he's doing. It grieves him in two ways. If you are a believer and he's living on the inside of you, that unforgiveness that you keeping in there, it grieves him because he is not being allowed to build you up into the body of Christ. He's not being allowed to build you up, conforming you to the character of Christ. It's destroying his work. And the other thing is, it grieves him because that unforgiveness in my heart is also destroying his work in my brother. And so it grieves the Holy Spirit. Why? Because my corrupt communication is tearing my brother down. Not only is it tearing my brother down, but it's hurting even me. Because listen, to keep unforgiveness in my heart is costly. It's very, think about it. The emotional baggage I'm carrying, it doesn't just stop spiritually. It translates even to my physical self. So many people are sick. They got issues physically because they're holding on to unforgiveness. You see, people's face are all twisted the moment they see somebody who did something wrong to you. And your face, my grandmother used to say, you better fix your face before it sticks that way forever. It's costly. You know, it takes less energy to hold on to unforgiveness than it does to forgive. You got to work at it. And so that's it, right? Unforgiveness within the body of Christ. Corrupt communication. So here's the key, right? So I don't just want to point this out and say, you're this, you're that, you're the other, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other, I'm just messed up, I need to forgive, I need to forgive, I need to forgive. Because anyone who is dealing with unforgiveness in their heart, they've heard it before. They've heard it before 1,000 times. You need to forgive this person. And they're like, well, look, I'm just sick and tired of everybody telling me all the time to forgive. I've heard it before. I don't want to hear it anymore. And then you have the person who will say, well, you need to forgive this person. Well, I can't forgive. You can't forgive? No, I can't forgive them. Is it really that you can't forgive or you won't forgive? Because there's a difference. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Let me tell you what they did to me. Here we go again, right? Let me tell you what they did to me. Refrigerator syndrome. Let me tell you what they did to me. And then you begin to explain what they did to you. Well, I can remember. Matter of fact, I remember exactly because I can remember I was on my way to school that day, and when I heard the announcement on the radio that the airplanes have flew into the Twin Towers in New York. And I can remember that. And I'm like, okay, wow. So how long ago was 9/11? How many years ago? And you can remember. Listen, someone can explain something that happened to them. They can tell you the day, the time it happened, what the atmosphere smelled like that day, what smell was in the air, what the weather was like. You know, like they do one of those, this day in history, right? And they tell you that thing happened today, 100 years ago, right? And it's kind of like that. Listen, when you can explain something that happened 25 years ago as if to say it happened yesterday, you got a problem. It's unforgiveness. That's what they did to me. How long ago? You still holding on to it? Let it go. Because you are destroying the work of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. And the other thing is this, remembering, right? And I said this, the moment you lay eye on the person, it all comes back. It all comes back. Remembering what they did to me, it all comes back. So how do I deal with that, right? It's already 8:02. Well, Paul gives the key here. He says, speaking of corrupt communication, right? When we speak, he says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, right? But what you should let come out of your mouth, that which is good, right? Good to the use of edifying, right? That which is good to the use of edifying. So when we speak to one another, right, about what happened, or when we speak to other people about what happened, right, what we say should, it really should accommodate the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to the use of edifying, right? That which is good to the use of edifying, words that can be used to assist the Holy Ghost in his work of edifying, of building up. That's the key. So back to Colossians 3:13. The second reason that you forgive is you forgive because Christ forgive. Listen, you forgive for Christ's sake. Now I know people use that phrase. And they say, for Christ's sake, do this and that. Oh, will you just do it for Christ's sake? But they don't really mean it, right? Right? But the word of God tells us here, right? A reason to forgive. He says right there in verse 13 of Colossians 3, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. That's the reason. Let's forgive because God in Christ forgave us. The one thing you should know is that if you are a person dealing with unforgiveness, you need to know you are forgiven by God. You are forgiven. We that are in the body of Christ, we are forgiven people. This is important because of the time of remembrance. Remember, I said that when you see that person and it all comes back to you and you want and the anger and the evil speaking and the wrath and the corrupt communication wants to all just come out in an effort to make them pay back for what they did to you in that moment, instead of now we're dealing with the heart right now. He said, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth because you don't want to say things that you will regret later. Now we're dealing with the heart, right? Now we're dealing with the heart. How, it's not just about shutting your mouth, but it's about going to the root problem. right? How do you deal with the heart? By remembering you are forgiven. How do you, listen, you cancel out your remembrance of what they did to you and you replace that with remembering that you are forgiven in Christ. When all that anger and wrath wants to come to the forefront, is just let the Holy Spirit remind you of what God has already done on your behalf in Jesus Christ. He forgave you of your sin. He canceled out your sin debt. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and said those words, "It is finished." What was finished? Your sin debt was paid in full. And so, when you come to a point of remembrance, remembering what your brother or someone did to you, cancel out what they did to you and remember what Jesus has done for you. You are forgiven. Instead of meditating on what they did to you, meditate on that truth. You are forgiven. And I'm telling you, at that moment, it takes the burden off for you. It takes it off for you. It takes it all off for you and places it on Christ, who is able to carry your heavy bearing, because he's your heavy load sharer. He don't want you carrying that thing by yourself. And that's why he says, take my yoke upon you. What is the yoke, right? The yoke was an agricultural tool, right, that they used with the animals, right? The yoke were placed on one animal. One end was placed on one animal, and the other end was placed on another animal. And it was done so that they both could be synchronized in their work together to help carry the load. And when he says, take his yoke upon you, what he is saying is, let me come alongside you. How? By my Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He's the come alongside. Let me come alongside you and help you carry this load. You can't carry it on your own. You're destroying yourself. You're destroying the body of Christ. Let him carry this thing for you. In that moment of remembrance, remember what he's done. You are forgiven. Going back to some of the things we already dealt with, broken fellowship, you know, staying away from people, not speaking to people, not wanting to have anything to do with people, jumping from church to church. Because for some reason, there aren't any church out there that is just good enough for you. Everybody has the problem. No, like we said 2 weeks ago, the problem is not everybody. The problem is me. I'm the common denominator, and I need to deal with my issue in that moment when I'm pointing out to everybody what's wrong with them. I need to think about this. What do I need to think about? Well, a person who has done nothing don't need to be forgiven. The fact that God forgive you in Christ means you too did something that warrants God's forgiveness. And in that time of remembering what someone did to you, think about that. You too did something that God had to forgive you for. And you ought to forgive someone for Christ's sake because of what he did. Listen, and I'm done. We said this last week. When Jesus said it is finished on that cross, not only my sin debt was paid in full, but that person that did me wrong, their sin debt was paid in full. It will cancel out. And if God has canceled their sin debt in Jesus Christ, Who am I to try to make them pay it all over again? Do you know what I'm doing when I do that? I'm saying to God, say, look, I know you sovereign and almighty, but what you did is just not good enough. I have to come on top and add mine because, you know, you by yourself, God, you just can't do it right. I can better deal with this situation than you can. That's what I'm saying when I try to make someone pay back what they did to me. That's essentially what I'm saying. What Christ did on that cross is not enough. No, no, no. It is enough. It is enough. Forgive for Christ's sake. And I'm done. And I know this. I said the other thing about remembrance, right? You've heard people say this. Forgive and forget. You heard that before? Mm-hmm. Forgive and forget. I know that, you know where that comes, I know that comes from, 3 Quincy, chapter 3 and verse 15. That's where that comes from. You know, the section that deals with church traditions, that's where that comes from. But in my Bible, there's no such thing as, in the Word of God, right? There's no such thing as forgive and forget. It's impossible to forget. Human beings are not designed to forget. When we forget things, guess what? We got neurological disorders. We got brain problems when we start forgetting things. We're not supposed to forget. What did David say in Psalm 51? He said, my sin is always before my eyes. I don't forget it. You're not going to forget. This idea of forgive and forget, it's not real, because the moment you lay eye on someone, that thing you thought you forgot is going to come right back. So you can't forget it. You have to deal with it. And the way you deal with it is remembering that God forgive you in Amen. Christ of your trespasses.
Amen.
And you ought to forgive somebody else. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you once more. We just thank you for bringing us through the last hour. So much has been said, God. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, we will remember what your word has spoken, all in an effort, God, to be delivered from whatever unforgiveness that may be in our hearts. Because God, as you point out in your word, it's not just so much about pointing out the wrong, but at the end, you require deliverance. You want to bring about deliverance. It's not just pointing the finger at what someone did or what they need to do. The whole point of this is because you are highlighting this thing because you want to bring about deliverance. You want someone to be free of the burden of holding on to things. And so, God, we pray that even as we go forward, you will continue to remind our hearts of the important work that your son accomplished on our behalf on the cross. And let that truth deal with our hearts, God, that we can be forgiven if we have not done something that required your forgiveness. And remind us, God, that you have forgiven us in Christ. And let that give us a reason to forgive someone else for your son's sake. We thank you for the word. We thank you for everyone who is on the Zoom line. God, we pray that you just deal with our hearts. God, we pray for Pastor Wright and his family. We pray for Mother Newman and the Newman family, God, the prayer request, God, we also pray for the Helps Ministry and all the ministries at Community Baptist Church. God, we just lift them up in prayer. You know what's going on, God. And you know everything that we do it all for your glory.
And so we pray that whatever we do, God, that you would get the glory out of it, whether it's the food pantry, whether it's the ministerial staff or the deacons or the ushers, or whether it's in the music ministry with the choirs and the musicians, whatever the ministry is, God, we just pray that you would get glory out of the work that you are doing through us, God. Because you said in your word, we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God, that good works is so that you can be glorified. So have your way. Have your way. We ask these few things in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, and for his sake, amen. Amen.